This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You are still with the Evening Edition and Lynn and Ayman. And as promised, we are going through Budget 2020, not quite item by item, but just looking at some of the allocations that have hit very specific parts of Malaysian society. Now we're going to be spending some time talking about youth. And with us on the line is Tharma Lingampile, who is director and founder of Undi 18. Tharma, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you. Pleasure to be on the show.
So I guess first things first, we've seen that Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq has described Budget 2020 as a youth budget. Would you agree? Does it cover the priorities of Malaysian youth today, in your opinion?
I do think it's a youth budget. But to be honest, I think the budget was very well done. So I would actually describe it as a very holistic budget, because it has allocations, a lot of allocations for young people to address unemployment, to address the industrial automation needs, women, family. So there are many, many categories that were addressed, or at least they tried to address within the budget. So I feel that it's a very holistic budget. But as for YB Syed Saddiq, I do agree that it was a youth budget.
So what were some of the main hopes for the youth that you had going into the budget announcement?
For me, I think what young people often want, I think, are three major things. One is in terms of education. Two is in terms of jobs. And three is in terms of housing. I think these are the three economic and education woes that I was hoping that the government would try to address and solve. Mm-hmm. And they did address it. I think the question of whether it's solved or whether they tried to address it effectively, I think that's a different discussion. But they did try to address all three of this. For example, Education Ministry had the most allocation. There are multiple jobs incentives and investments into the industry to hire more young people. And of course, with housing, there is the BSN program for subsidized housing for youth. So there is key policies that were put into place to address these three major concerns.
And on that note, right, what are some of the main struggles that young people have faced when it comes to employment? And we have also seen some initiatives put out by the government, Graduates at Work. Do you see that helping?
Okay, right. So for me, I think some of the key issues, one is, of course, I believe that a lot of young people are employed, but they are underemployed, which means that they're graduate holders or degree holders or even masters or PhD holders, but they're working in the gig economy. They're working for minimum wage. They're working for less than $2,000 a month doing clerical work. So I think underemployment is a big problem. That's one. Second is, I feel that a lot of young Malaysians are improperly trained, or their degrees in university or their trainings in universities did not sufficiently prepare them to think critically and to, you know, to be a good productive member of society. I think that's really structural problems from the previous administration, and unfortunately, we're facing the brunt now. In regard to the Graduates for Work program, I do think that's a very good idea, and I think that's something that will be very helpful to help at least a few percentage points off the unemployment numbers for youth. But I don't think that's a total solution, but it definitely helps.
So speaking of the Graduates at Work initiative, the Malaysian National Federation of Youth Work Secretary General Muhammad Rizan Hassan said that the initiative was new and brave, but he also asked if it would be applicable only to university graduates, or also if it were to be applicable to TVET graduates. Do you hope to see this being extended to TVET graduates?
For me, just based on the statistics and the data that we have in terms of youth unemployment data, the main people who suffer from unemployment are actually the graduates. People who have graduated with university or diplomas, and they go out into the workforce, and there is a lack of high-paying, high-quality jobs for them. So that's actually one of the segments that's most affected. So I believe that the priority should be given, I think, to address this biggest segment. Because if you look at statistics, if you look at data, even, for example, with the Malay community, for example, the percentage of unemployment for graduates are actually higher than those who didn't even did not even complete their education. So it's a very shocking statistic. So it shows that the graduate unemployment problem is something that's really serious. So I would prefer if the government prioritizes first and tries to at least reduce the graduate unemployment numbers before looking at TVET. Because I think it's something that YB Sadiq mentions numerous times. The unemployment rate for TVET graduates is actually very low. Hence, the government wanted to increase the allowance and increase the investment into TVET just because the unemployment rate is low. Hence, I don't think the graduates work program is a high priority to be applied for the TVET graduates.
And Dharma, you mentioned earlier some of the main things that are driving youth unemployment, right? Some of the main concerns. So in your opinion, and I know that this graduates at work thing, it works on both sides. On the one hand, there is a boost given for graduates who get a job after a year of unemployment. There's also going to be incentives given to companies that hire. Do you think that this is enough to stimulate that hiring process for graduates, or what other avenues would you like to see the government or the private sector exploring?
All right. So I think in terms of hiring some of the unemployed graduates, I think that's a big boost, because you're giving 500 ringgit per month for each graduate who has been unemployed for 12 months, and you're also giving employers 300 ringgit per month, and this for each graduate that they hire that has been unemployed for 12 months. So I think that 800 ringgit in total per month subsidy of business costs is a very big factor in helping these unemployed graduates get employed. But I think one of the big things that needs to be done is a proper government industry partnership in terms of training students. For example, in Japan, one of the big things that has been done for decades is when companies themselves have specific training programs that that students or graduates can go into, or even companies even have their own universities, for example. Which means that graduates from these universities or these skills programs have the appropriate level of expertise and skills for them to be immediately absorbed into that specific company or by the relevant industry. I think this is something that has to be explored, especially since I mentioned earlier that we do have this gap between the skills that are required by the employers and the skills that have been given to the to graduates from universities and from training centers. There is that gap in need, so we have to address that.
So when we discussed the budget on Friday, a listener asked whether some graduates might take advantage of the 500 ringgit payment under the Graduates at Work scheme and take the opportunity for a gap year. Do you see this potentially happening?
All right. Definitely there is the potential. There is the possibility. We can't ignore that. But one, I don't think it's something that is that's going to happen very prevalently. I don't think it's going to be something that's widespread. Just because, one, being unemployed for 12 months is tough. There's not many people who have the opportunity to just go take a gap year and just not work for 12 months and just try to game the system. That's one. But secondly, in the case of addressing the concern that the possibility that people might game the system, I do think that there should be certain level of perhaps regulation or perhaps screening before these subsidies or these programs are put into play. So, for example, a graduate might have to show that they've been applying for jobs over the past 12 months. A graduate must show that maybe that they have not had any experience with this certain companies, because a possibility might be that a graduate might work for X company for a period of 1 year under the radar, and then they be an official worker. Or they announce that they're an official worker. So I think that those kind of problems can be thought through, and there can be some sort of filtering process to make sure that abuses don't happen, or we minimize the abuses at least.
There's also an increased allocation of 20 million ringgit for esports. Is this something that you think signals an increased attention on youth interests or youth priorities by the government?
I do think so. I think that the allocation of 20 million, I think, is something that's really interesting, because one, it shows that that the desires or the interests of youth are being paid attention to, because the reality is that young people are a huge consumer market and a huge market to be tapped into, and so is e-gaming. So one of the big reasons why I think there was an investment into this sector was because in Southeast Asia especially, there has not been a power player, or there has not been a country that can say that we are the authority in this region in terms of e-gaming. while this is a multi-billion dollar industry. So this 20 million, I think, makes a lot of sense to develop an entire ecosystem, not just the gamers, but also the game developers, the gaming startups. I think this ecosystem can grow just because of this 20 million. And I think it's so interesting that we're actually finally looking into this, because if we were to give it up to older policymakers, perhaps they might have overlooked this sector as something that has a growth potential. So the fact that we're actually recognizing that the desires or the interests of young people have a huge economic value, I think that's something, that's a shift in perspective that's very good.
And how far do you think the youth housing scheme will address the affordability of housing for young people?
To be honest, I don't really think that it will solve the problem, or because we've already had numerous, and I mean numerous, sort of policies or sort of programs trying to address this problem. I think even since last year, YB Lim Guan Eng has been announcing no sales tax or some sort of discounts and all that. But the rate of buying houses has not been high enough, and I don't see that changing just because of this specific policy. I fundamentally believe that the problem with the Malaysian housing market is that developers have been building without doing any market research. I think it was very funny, I think about a month ago, when the RERA president said that, oh, it's difficult to sell houses nowadays because buyers want certain things. And it was so weird, because if you're a business, you have to do the market research of what buyers want. Buyers want certain things in specific areas. They want a certain price point. So the developers are paying a price, or the developers are struggling because they have not taken the opportunity to learn what the consumer wants and to learn what the consumer or the Malaysian consumer can actually buy. So there needs to be a reduction in price of properties in order for more people to buy it. I don't think these new policies would work. Maybe they'll work to a small extent, but it's not going to be very effective. Fundamentally, we still need to change how developers charge in terms of housing.
And in closing, are there any youth issues that you think were not sufficiently covered by the budget?
For me, I think in terms of youth issues, generally they were covered relatively well. But of course, as I said, some problems were not addressed. But I think there are key structural issues that were not looked into. For example, the issue of import permits, the issue of GLCs. And these are key problems that have structurally inhibited our country's growth. And a lot of these monopolies, government-supported monopolies, have in tune or in turn affected the wages that young people are able to get. Second is the businesses that young people are able to join in, just because there is a government-created monopoly stopping young people from having their share of the pie. So these are key structural issues that I really didn't hear much about. The issue of APs, issue of how GLCs should be reviewed and regulated better, or just broken up. I think these are key things that I hope the government looks into over the next 1 year.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Tama.
Yep, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Tama Lingamile, director and founder of Undi 18, on the subject of the youth allocation within Budget 2020. If you have any thoughts, you can, of course, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.